Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome to Food for the Journey. We've been talking the last few days, and I just want to summarize this point. If God is first in your life, in terms of your priorities, if God, time with God, obedience to God, building your relationship with God is first in your life, everything else that is important to be done will fall into place. I guarantee you, it's like when you put first what God wants first, everything else will fall into place. And why does he want to be first? Because he ought to be first in your life. And secondly, because if you go to him first, he will order your day. He will help you with the dilemmas and the distractions and the fears that you're facing. He'll help you with that. So you come to the Lord first, you give him thanksgiving and adoration and worship by reading the Psalms. You read a passage from Scripture. Then you put before him all that you have today, all you have to deal with. And you ask him, just go step by step. Help me with this. Give me wisdom. And then as you go through your day, allow the Lord to accompany you, because he is. He is. He is right there. And just keep saying, lead me, teach me. You will be amazed, brothers and sisters. Doesn't mean it'll be flawless. But it does mean that if you follow the Lord that closely, you are going to hear him. You're going to see fruit in the work of your hands. Let him guide you. I've had many times when I went to make a phone call and I've just said to the Lord, in addition to this person, is there anyone you want me to call? And a name pops into my head, and I call, and there was a reason why I called that person rather than another. And that doesn't happen all the time. I'm not saying that. It's not that way. But if I offer everything every day to God, then he has room to redirect me when that's necessary. Many times it's just fine what I'm doing. But there are times when, as I offer him my day and offer him the various parts of my day, that then when I'm in that part, he'll alert me to something else. He'll show me that something else has a higher priority than I could have seen. But that's not every day. It's more an attitude, a spirit, so that when God does want to redirect you, he can get your attention because you're giving it to him. Begin to do that every day, every morning. Offer him your day. Letter of St. Paul to the Romans, chapter 14, verses 7 to 12. Brothers and sisters, none of us lives for oneself, and no one dies for oneself. For if we live, we live for the Lord, and if we die, we die for the Lord. So then, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. For this is why Christ died and came to life, that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. Why then do you judge your brother or sister? Or you, why do you look down on your brother or sister? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow before me, every tongue shall give praise to God. So then each of us shall give an account of himself to God. Brothers and sisters, each of us will give an account of himself to God. So live your life recognizing that you will have to render an account. It doesn't mean that you have to nitpick every situation. What's your orientation? Do you want to see him praised and glorified and honored? Or are you living in sin? Are you trying to get away with something? We will give an account to God one day. Let's get to a place. Let's make some decisions and get to a place where we're free to do that. Rendering an account simply means to be able to say, thank you for this, and I repent for this. Thank you for giving me this opportunity. I could do better in this area. That's rendering an account. It doesn't mean it has to all be perfect. But it means that, Lord, I'm trying to be a good steward of my life for your honor and glory. Help me. See yourself that way. You are a steward of your life. You don't own it. God does. Psalm 27, I believe that I shall see the good things of the Lord in the land of the living. It's true. It's true. The Lord is my life's refuge. The Lord is my light and my salvation. And I ask only one thing of the Lord, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, that I may gaze on the loveliness of the Lord, the beauty, the splendor, the power, the glory, and contemplate his temple. I may see where he dwells and that I may enter in. I believe that I shall see the bounty of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord with courage. Be stout-hearted and wait for the Lord. So many people say, well, I asked God, nothing happened. So God talks to you, but he doesn't talk to me. Oh, yes, he does. You just have to learn how to hear his voice. Distinguish his voice from all the noise around you. It's a quiet voice. It most commonly is a whisper. You need to be attentive, not just in body, but in spirit. You need to be attentive. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you to learn how to do that. One of the things that I learned in my life that was helpful for a time that got me into a pattern was that I would stop at every hour at my desk and rededicate myself to God and ask him if there is anything he wanted to say to me. And every once in a while he did. But I had the opportunity of rededicating my life, remembering who I was, why I was doing what I was doing. So perhaps a pattern like that can help you to become attentive, to begin to think this way. Getting a habit into place takes time. But maybe you can do something like that. Or at least before I walk out the front door, when I stop for coffee, when I'm on my home commute, and before I go to bed, maybe you want to do it that way. I found that I needed to remind myself every hour so I could get into a pattern. But then you can lessen it at some point if you choose to. I actually think it's good to do, just as it is, every hour. But many times our circumstances, and then we miss this and we miss that, and we think, oh, I can't do it. So do something that works in your schedule. But remember his presence. Thank him for his presence. Ask him to lead you. Give to him whatever concerns you. Give him thanks for what is good so far in the day. And then go on. The gospel is taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15, verses 1 to 10. The tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to listen to Jesus. But the Pharisees and scribes began to complain, saying, see, Jesus wasn't following their agenda, and so they were always finding fault with him. Sometimes don't we do that with God? We have an agenda, and we want God to bless our agenda, and he doesn't. And we don't like that. So, well, God doesn't talk to me, and we just walk away. Tax collectors and the sinners were all drawing near to listen to Jesus, but the Pharisees and the scribes began to complain, saying, this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. Oh, how awful. They were not looking at themselves. What about themselves? Were they sinless? Of course not. But they prided themselves in being obedient to all the precepts of the law. 613, I think, precepts of the law. They prided themselves on that, and they looked down on everybody else. They weren't using the right standard of measurement, obviously. So Jesus addressed this parable to them. What man among you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, would not leave the 99 in the desert and go after the lost one until he finds it? And when he does find it, he sets it on his shoulders with great joy, and upon his arrival home, he calls together his friends and neighbors and says to them, rejoice with me, because I have found my lost sheep. I tell you, in just the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who have no need of repentance. We think we have no need of repentance. Oh, brothers and sisters, examine your conscience. Don't go down that path. There will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents. I think God must love to hear the words, Lord, I didn't understand. Lord, I didn't see, but now I do. I am so sorry for the ways I've turned against you, for the ways I rejected your help, for the ways I was selfish and went my own way. Please forgive me. It's that kind of prayer that God hears. God hears. And what does God do? He comes out and he picks you up if you were lost. You may just be on the fringes, but you may have been lost. And he picks you up and he carries you, protects you, brings you back into the fold. How much Pope Francis is trying to make a way through the road of mercy to bring many people back. Perhaps you're one of them that God wants to bring back to his people, to his church, to his fold. Will you let yourself be picked up and carried? Perhaps you're so wounded that you can't walk back, but he could carry you. Will you let yourself be carried safely home to the house of God? Luke's gospel goes on to say, or what woman having 10 coins and losing one would not light a lamp and sweep the house, searching carefully until she finds it? And when she does find it, she calls together her friends and neighbors and says to them, rejoice with me because I have found the coin that I lost. In just the same way, I tell you, now listen to this, I tell you there will be rejoicing among the angels of God over one sinner who repents. The heavenly choirs of angels will rejoice when you come back. That's not an image, brothers and sisters. That's the reality. That's who God is. That's his mercy. That's his kindness. But we have to be willing to say, I'm in need of mercy. And sometimes we're so arrogant and so proud that we can't say, I made a mistake. I sinned. I'm sorry. And we're always trying to excuse ourselves. Well, I wouldn't have, this hadn't happened and that hadn't happened, the other thing hadn't happened. We put the blame on everybody else. Take responsibility for what is your part. Take responsibility. Don't excuse yourself because other people played a part. Take responsibility for your part. And Jesus, when you die, will welcome you, and the choirs of angels will sing on your behalf. Praise and glory to God. My goodness, brothers and sisters, this is real. This is not some children's story. It's not some fairy tale. You are going to live forever. The question is where? I want you with him. I want you with him. I want to be able to see all of you who've listened to this program, whose names I do not even know. I want to be with you in heaven forever. Please heed the Lord's word. God bless you. As we prepare for this year of mercy, which will begin this December, I want to make available to you a free copy booklet, Captured by Mercy. I'm going to be speaking on this program a great deal about the true meaning of mercy, but I'd like you to have a free copy of my booklet now, Captured by Mercy. You can receive it simply by calling this number, 1-800-282-4789.